Okay. Thank you very much. Like Monique has ably said, I'm presenting the Zambian case on our engagement with the UPR and how we worked as a coalition. Our working together on the UPR is historical through alternative and shadow reports that we submit to treaty bodies. And now the UPR stakeholders reporting. And we do appreciate, as CSOs in Zambia, that all these reporting mechanisms are unique tools by which us CSOs in Zambia present our opinions on our government's actions or lack thereof to respect, protect, and fulfill human rights. That's the government's obligations. And it also provides us an opportunity to undertake a systematic analysis of the extent to which our laws, our policies, and practice in Zambia is in compliance with human rights provisions to which Zambia is a state party to. So the compilation of stakeholders' report on UPR in Zambia. The preparation and compilation of a stakeholders' report on children's rights is done in a collaborative effort by a group of NGOs rather than by individual NGOs, because through our experience with submitting shadow or alternative reports to the treaty bodies, a report prepared by a coalition rather than individual NGOs is much more difficult to discredit or disregard, and it lends greater legitimacy to information submitted on violations of rights. Our government can easily claim that information submitted by one NGO should not be taken seriously because that particular NGO is politically motivated or linked to the opposition parties or not reliable or is basing its criticism on fantasy rather than fact. But it is much more difficult for our government to discredit a report prepared by a group of us. So a collaborative approach facilitates the following: the strengthening of the stakeholders' reporting process. And it also facilitates easy access to information through specialized thematic organizations. I mean Children's rights are a broad range. Others are promoting the right to health. Others are promoting early childhood and development. Others are promoting the right to education. Others are promoting the right to play. Others are promoting the right to a family, adoption, and all sorts. So with these thematic organizations, we are able to gather information from the specialized organizations. And it also facilitates a production of a comprehensive report instead of many thematic reports, because all 18 of us, 18 organizations, we can all produce different reports on different themes. And it also helps in concerted effort in resources mobilization, because bringing people together, working together, it does have a certain cost to it, which you know a single organization may not be able to cope with. And then also relative easy dissemination of information in our various constituencies. If it's one organization, it may have a particular constituency of people, the target group, the beneficiaries, the stakeholders. But if there are 22 of us, we have 22 constituencies, 22 types of target groups, 22 types of stakeholders, and all these information can go to them. And every NGO in the child rights sector has a role to play, feeding information to the drafting task force. Specifically addressing child rights organizations, because in Zambia, CSOs, we are divided roughly in three types of CSOs. There are those that are looking at civil and political rights and democracy specifically, which touches on everybody. And then there are those that are into women's rights, and there are those of us that are into children's rights. So broadly, you find these three types of CSOs in Zambia. So collaboration addresses the following challenges. The lack of capacity in terms of knowledge and skills in individual organizations, because in organizations, we are at different levels. So our body of knowledge, some even in the understanding of regional human rights arrangements and later on international human rights arrangements, are not the same. So with others that are more ahead, more exposed, then we share the information. And also it helps with limited funding, like I explained before. And then it also enhances our coalition, poor coalition working together, and also poor advocacy. So coming together to work on compiling a stakeholder report enhances our collaborative efforts. It also enhances our advocacy because we speak as a bigger voice than hundreds of smaller voices that the government won't pay attention to. And there's also it addresses the failure to track government state reporting processes, because some organizations don't even know that there are such things as the government having to report on its implementation of human rights, and also poor information dissemination and the limited time to prepare reports. So working together helps us to do this. So how did we start? 2008, the first UPR, the first cycle. Our meeting was spearheaded by international NGOs, Save the Children and PLAN in Zambia, because they were much more aware of the UPR. We knew there was the Human Rights Council, but we're not very much aware of the UPR process. So they were aware because they have offices here in Geneva who give them up-to-date information. So they called, some of us were partners, others were just organizations they knew were working in children's rights. So we met where the UPR process was disseminated to us, and there were 22 child rights organizations that attended that meeting. And at the first meeting, the reporting guidelines were also disseminated and explained, basically the number of pages of the report, which is, of course, much shorter than what we're used to under the treaty bodies, and also the laying out of information and the deadline for the submission. So that was given to us. So during that meeting, we did a process to prioritize issues which we thought we should submit in the report. And we prioritized these six issues. The child legislation review. In Zambia, we've been having a review of all child-related legislations since 2002, and the process is still going on. You know, there are times when nothing is happening, like now. So we wanted to bring that to their attention, that, you know, currently in Zambia, there are over 29 various pieces of legislation that pertain to children, and it's very difficult to know when a violation has occurred, which law to use to get kind of remedy for the victims. So this is what's going on. And then also we have a national child policy, which at that time had not been operationalized. It had been worked on, which we had, nothing was being done. And we also thought that there's no national child council for coordination of children's programs in the country, which was a recommendation by the Committee on the Rights of the Child when we were examined in 2003. And also the inadequate awareness raising by government of human rights in general and children's in particular, especially to professionals working with children such as teachers and health workers. And also inadequate birth registration. In my country, birth registration is at, you know, 10% of children that are born. So we argue that how does the government plan for the children, but we know that in my country, 54% of the population are young persons below the age of 15. So we believe as child rights organizations that Zambia's issues are children's issues because they are in the majority of the population. And also increased budget allocations to children's programs in the national budget, because the government, the politicians who say the right thing in the newspapers, but where we know where their commitment is, we look at the budget. Because without putting resources towards what they are saying in the newspapers, it's just rhetoric. They are just talking politics. So we go to the budget, and we analyze the budget, and we bring out the inadequate funding to children's rights programs. So these were the themes that we identified. And then we formed thematic groups based on the themes that we identified. At this point, only 18 of the 22 organizations volunteered to take part in the whole process. The others felt they were not quite ready to take part in the whole process. So only 18 of us remained, and we formed thematic groups according to the themes, the six themes that we had identified. And then we formed what we called a drafting task force, where four organizations volunteered, that is two international NGOs and two local NGOs, and including my own NGO, that we will draft the actual report. And then we also had a data collection where we wanted data, and all 18 stakeholders were tasked to bring in current data. And this is where we found it very, very difficult, because our state our central statistics office is behind in data in, say, maybe 3-4 years. Our own information as CSOs, it's also not that well packaged, and we only found out at this stage that although we do a lot of work, we don't really document it properly and package it in a way that it does give information. And then, of course, we had the verification of data that we had to go through after the data was brought. We needed to verify, and sometimes we had to call the areas, the geographical areas where such a report was made, to verify on the ground whether such a thing actually exists, or the number of victims exist, or such a violation existed. So this verification cost quite a bit of money, and fortunately of the international NGOs on the coalition were able to manage that. So after the data verification, then we started the drafting of the report. And after the drafting of the report, we had a dissemination workshop to stakeholders, non-state civil society, and also the government. We invited the government, and it's notable to note that none of the government departments were represented at this information dissemination. And what we're looking for was validation of the information, and also submissions by others that, you know, had something to say on the report. And after that, we were happy, and we did a summary of it. Because the government did not attend, we did a summary of it, and we sent them the summary. We sent the government the reports, and then we published our summary in the newspapers. So that way, we were able to tell the government what, you know, the public, what we wanted to see, and also to inform the public that there was such a process that was going on. So we bought newspaper space. So we actually advertised our summary in the newspapers, because most of the newspapers are government controlled. And if we had gone to the editor, he would have pushed it under the table. But we bought space, so there was no excuse for any editor not to have our adverts published. So that's we published the summary in the papers, and then we submitted to Geneva. I'm saying we submitted to Geneva because even I at that time, I didn't know which office, which person in Geneva was receiving. We just knew that we're submitting it to Geneva. So whatever this Geneva was, we submitted it to Geneva. But of course, the international NGOs in our coalition, they knew whom they took it to Geneva. Now I know it's the Office of the High Commission for Human Rights, a working group, but as far as we were concerned, most of us local NGOs, we submitted it to Geneva. So it went, the submission went to Geneva. And out of the submissions reports, only 8 stakeholder reports were submitted in the first cycle. And our report, the child rights sector, we were cited 16 times in the summary of the stakeholders' submissions when it was compiled by the Office of the Commissioner for Human Rights. And 5 recommendations pertaining to our report were accepted by our country. The recommendations were made to our country, and our country accepted. Of course, we've heard with the previous that, you know, the political cost to children's rights is not so much as those that are into civil and political rights. So the governments were, you know, they think we are soft activists because we are talking about, you know, children's rights. And after that, we did nothing. We're very happy. You know, our process has finished. We're done. And we did absolutely nothing. Second cycle. So we heard through the network that, oh, Zambia is coming up for the second cycle. So we woke up from our slumber again. And then we said, okay. There were 18 of us that did the first report in 2008. So do we want to keep the 18? No. Civil society sector in my country is very fluid because of the funding. You know, organizations that were there in 2008, some of them are no longer there. I mean, Joshua has been talking about gongas, but in Zambia we don't only have gongas, but we also have individual non-governmental organizations. By a briefcase person, the office is in the home, everything is done there, and then you go into oblivion, other organizations come up. So we again spread the word now much wider, and we got 32 child rights organizations who came to the meeting, and we also invited non-child rights organizations to come. So the first meeting, I think there were more than 40-something of us who were there, and we went through the same process, dissemination of information on the UPR and why we had to write the report and how to do the report. And this time, at least we had more information on the UPR and our role on each step and on the whole process, thanks to Save the Children, who actually invited people from their office here in Geneva to come and pace us through the stages and what our role was on each one of them. So this first day of dissemination was to a wider group. Even those that are not strictly into children's rights were invited. And after that, then we remained as child rights organizations, 32 of us, and we went through more or less the same process where we'd done to kind of prioritize themes. So this time we came up with 5 themes. And number one, the child's right to education, especially to children in the rural areas. I don't know who I was telling yesterday that on Sunday there was a feature story of an 8-year-old child. Oh, it was Jane, I think I was telling. An 8-year-old girl in a rural area who walks 100 kilometers per week to and from school. And she doesn't even have a pair of shoes on her. So that's the plight of rural children in my country. And we thought that, you know, we should highlight the plight of education, you know, to rural children. And also children's access to justice, especially those children that come into conflict with the law and also into contact with the law, you know, is Article 39 of the CRC being followed? How are these children handled in our child justice system? Do we even have a child justice system to talk about? And then we also, the children's right to participate. Like I said, 54% of our population are children, but they are totally invisible in any processes that are there because they are not regarded as human enough to participate in issues that are very important. I remember one time I was on TV, it was a call-in program, and one person called and asked the TV presenter why that person was wasting time talking to me, who talks about children's rights when there are important things like the constitution going on in the country. And I said, our lifespan to HIV is 37 years old, so for me, that constitution is going to be inherited by the children who will be adults then, and if we don't want to talk about the children, we might as well stop talking about the constitution, because there's no safeguard of any Zambian who is going to inherit the constitution that we are spending so much time on anyway. And also the next theme was child protection, violence against children, all sorts of violence against children, mental, physical, sexual. Our children suffer through that in all settings, you know, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the judicial system, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in school system, they have those issues, you know, they have, you know, violence against them. Then also the children's rights to health, access to health facilities. So these were the 5 themes that we identified. Personally, if you notice, there's very little correlation to what we had presented in 2008. And I was of the view, I and maybe one other person in there, was of the view that since the government had not done anything about the 2008 issues we had raised, we need to, you know, to address them. And we didn't think that those issues had disappeared. But in a coalition, it's a democracy, and the majority will win. So we were beaten hands down. Those of us who wanted to reiterate on the submissions that we had met, that, you know, we needed to look at these things and so on and so forth. I was a bit sore about it, but that's the nature of democracy. Sometimes you have to get, you know, sore about certain issues. And of course, I said, like, you know, civil society is very fluid. There was also very little institutional memory of the individuals that were there. Not only our organizations coming up and going under, but also individuals in organizations come and go, because it's not a very lucrative sector to work in. Half of the time you go without pay because you don't have funding for that particular time. And sorry, Monique, your young people don't normally want to stay in civil society because, you know, they want to start a home, a family, and they can't wait until doomsday to get a salary. So we get quite a number of young people coming in from university and leaving the sector. So at that point, there was the lack of institutional memory of the individuals who were there and those that were there in 2008, even though the same organization could have been present in 2008. So then we facilitated also, aside from the thematic way we went in 2008, this time we facilitated a consultation with 100 children aged 8 to 18 years and from all the different provinces of Zambia. And we wanted first to consult them whether they felt the themes that we had come up as adults who speak on their behalf were the same themes that touched them. And also whether... and to solicit their input into the report, and which we did. And so therefore we combined our views and those of the children and submitted it to Geneva. But this time we knew which Geneva it went to. Yeah. So after submitting to Geneva, then we distributed our report to all childline government departments and embassies and the media bodies. And then we started the lobbying with missions in Zambia. And this is when we were told by the missions in Zambia that there were several other, this time there were about 14 different groups that had submitted stakeholder reports. And there was no way the embassies were going to, you know, have revolving doors of 14 different coalitions or whatever, or individual organizations walking in and lobbying with them. So they had decided as missions to give us a space of one day meeting where we had to flag off the very major issues that we wanted. So we had to further prioritize by flagging off, and we had to sit down again and come up with which issues would have a knock-on effect. Like if we mentioned the broader issues, would it have a knock-on effect to the others, you know, other issues that came up? So we further had to, you know, to prioritize and flag off. And we were invited, at least those stakeholders that had submitted a report, like I said, to a meeting. And we all met and flagged off these pertinent issues. And the summary that was compiled by the Office of the High Commission for Human Rights has included all our five themes. We are quoted there as joint submission number 6. So when you read our report, the report from Office of the Human Rights Commission, the sector, our sector, child rights sector, is defined as joint submission number 6. And all five themes that we identified have been included in that report. And on Monday next week, on the 29th, the day before Zambia is reviewed, we are going again to advertise our summary in all the national papers. We're going to advertise the summary, and in those adverts, we're going to inform the nation that such a review will be taking place the next day. And for the Lusaka-based public, we've arranged with the American Information Center, because they have the state-of-the-art video conferencing and a big hall that people can go and listen and watch the actual consideration. Those that can, from their own internet access, whatever, can also do that, but not most people in Zambia have that kind of facility. So there's that issue, and then we are going to carry on from now on lobbying with our governments so that we try and see if they can adopt most of our submissions between now and the time of adoption. And that's why I was, everybody at home in the coalition is looking forward to the information I give them. So yesterday after Joshua's presentation, I followed him up. So when is the adoption? What's the timeline? And he said, oh, roughly 3 months. Okay, so I sent email home. We've got 3 months in which to lobby our government to adopt whatever they are going to be presented to on Tuesday. So, and we have plans to monitor implementation, and my attendance here is going to add to those plans when I get home. I do the debriefing. We are going to revise our advocacy plans on the UPR and move on from there. Range of information sources we get for our report, broadest possible range of information sources, which includes current legislation, government reports on its implementation, government statistics, verbatim reports of parliamentary legislative proceedings, reports published by organizational and professional bodies working with children, published research, government, academic, NGO, books, and periodicals. Thank you for your attention.